intro, but I think that
I
think if anybody heard you say whatever you said, that's perfect. All I'm going to do is people.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's it. I don't have an intro.
I didn't know we were recording. I apologize. I was watching this idiot come flying down the street. Maybe if I drive 90 miles an hour, I can kill somebody. Oh, it's okay. Go ahead. It's a residential area.
We don't have a song tonight, sadly.
I think it's why I'm angry.
Yeah.
I think it's mainly because Chris is sick. So Nick was just like, I need my Wonder Twin.
Yeah.
To
depressed. Yeah.
I was going to sing for you, Nick. I was going to say, sing us the song. You're the other guy. Sing us a song tonight. Cause we're all in the mood for a ramble cast and you got me feeling all right.
That's actually pretty good.
That's what you get. That's the best one you've ever done.
That's the best one.
That's my favorite one.
Okay.
That would probably be a bit hard to do in the ukulele. I mean, 3/4 time, and then he's probably got some weird chords to it. I have to look it up.
But, yeah. You're not taking the challenge? You afraid to take the challenge?
Not at all. But, you know, it's like Dennis. I'm sorry, Dennis. Like, Dennis sent me a song maybe a month and a half ago to do. And it's a piano song, and so every single syllable is a different chord. You know, so it's like, I can't do that on the ukulele because you just be changing constantly. So I was like, ugh.
What song was it?
Tell Me Something Good.
Oh, okay.
By Rufus, you know.
Okay,
but it was, I can just sing it a cappella, I guess, but it was like, it was ramble, 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 something like that, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Rambling, ramble, ramble, cast.
Something like that. I was thinking.
I like it.
Tell me something good.
That's what that is, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Stevie Wonder wrote that song.
Oh, okay. But Rufus, okay.
Yeah, played it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the chords are getting down. It's just different every. So it's just hard to do on a stringed instrument.
Nice.
But so Dennis, you kind of got it, I guess.
Good job, Dennis.
Yeah.
Way to go. Thanks for being a team player.
I would also.
You were a drawing.
Yeah. And did you Amanda sent you an email, Matt?
I did, and I'm a little late on some drawings here for some people. I know I have to.
It's not like we have that many reviews coming in. What's taking so long?
No, but you know what? I have been practicing this one, though. So, Amanda, I'll go ahead and send you this one. I actually drew this, if you don't know, but this guy named Crazy Hank TV, he's doing a Lost Rewatch. Sometimes he makes an appearance on this show, I guess. But anyway, while some of us have appeared on his Lost Rewatch, which is fun, and if you haven't checked it out, you do get a little kind of bonus RCAD in there, although we don't keep it extreme. But it's been a lot of fun. Anyway, so probably the last two times I've podcast, I've been doodling on this. It's a little Nick would get the reference here, what it is. So
yeah,
I guess it's
actually really good.
Probably
some kind of cat Amanda, box.
Yeah, if Amanda's not really a Star Wars fan, maybe you don't really want this. But it's a little toy thing. Actually, Jay would probably like it more than anybody. But it's a little toy thing that came with Yoda's.
Yeah.
So it's this little piece. I've been having it laying around here, so I've just been sketching it. So
it looks nice,
and it's on the Jay and Jack stationery. So Amanda, I don't know how much better I can get than that, considering you gave us that really, really great email about Jack.
Well, part of it was good.
Yeah. My favorite email ever.
And then I'm also just I need to get out the drawing of Schitt's Creek themed David Rose, which by the way, Schitt's Creek is back on Netflix with all new episodes. I think was just released last week. So I've been really enjoying seeing that show again. So
yeah, that's the one I was going to check out, but I checked out the other one first.
I'll get it right here. Hold on.
Yeah. It's, I did watch the first episode, did laugh a couple times, but it's bizarre.
I was worried that this was the last season of Schitt's Creek, but no, it's not. It's next season, season six, which begins in January. Apparently, is I knew one of the seasons coming up was the last of Schitt's Creek. So,
did you figure it out, Nick?
Oh, it's in the email we got home.
Starts with an L.
Yeah, it's like Letterbetter or something.
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny.
That's what it is. I watched the first episode, and it is it's a different show. I mean, like I said, I did laugh a couple times, but I'm like going, I don't know if this is a show I can get into because it's just bizarre.
I always want to call it Sleater-Kinney, which is a band, and not related to Letterkenny. So, but.
Yeah, but I got so many shows. I just realized The 100 is on Netflix now, season six. I haven't watched season six yet. I got Peaky Blinders I got to watch. I still got The Dark I have to watch.
Oh, and more importantly than anything else, what do you have to watch before Sunday, Jack?
Jaws?
No, Jaws. The other blue whale.
Oh, that.
Orca.
Orca, no.
Free Willy?
No. Keep watching.
I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of anything.
All right.
Yeah, I gotta watch. I have to watch Watchmen the movie before I watch the show, or I can't podcast about it.
Well, you gotta have some context. You have no context. You know, here, Jay.
I don't know. I did Leftovers without reading the book. Did Game of Thrones without reading the books. My part went really well. I'm not throwing you off under the bus, but you can't have one person carrying the other one.
But Jay was kind of throwing you under the bus, like he doesn't want a Game of Thrones situation. He wants you to know at least something going into it. So
yeah, whatever.
Okay.
All right. I think I know why Matt's behind though in all of his drawings.
How's that Survivor podcast going?
Anyway. Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
What does that have to do with me?
It has nothing to do with you.
I was saying, I think I know why Matt's behind on his drawing. So it's because for the last 2 days, he has been blowing up my Twitter feed.
Oh, my God.
With nothing but Disney movies. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
I sent him a message. I said, did you get hired by Disney Plus?
Yeah.
I will say this, though. It is kind of interesting because I've seen probably 90% of those movies he's posting. And I haven't seen a lot of those since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you forget about it. I'm like, oh, God, I forgot about that one. Oh, so I forgot about that one. Oh, God, who is this guy? Well, he stopped. But anyway.
That's what made me laugh, was, you know, because Matt wrote that about the Apple Dumpling Gang. It's like, you know, like, oh, Don Knotts, sign me up. And I'm like, you know, like, oh, he doesn't know what this is about. Or have you seen the Apple Dumpling Gang, Matt?
I'm sure I've seen it, but, you know, I watched a lot of those movies when I was, like, a kid at my grandma's house, and it's like I remember half the plot. So, but
it's not about apples.
I kind of figured that it wasn't about apples. But if you don't know, and if you want to see what I'm doing, I don't know. Okay, here's what happened.
What started it?
I was reading a BuzzFeed article, and they were like, they were posting. They had talked about how Disney Plus had like tweeted out every single movie and show that they're going to be on Disney Plus. And on this BuzzFeed article, as they do, they had like these little snarky comments about the movies, and I was like, these aren't funny. I was like, I could do better. And so, specifically, they had a thing about Million Dollar Duck, and I was like, "Oh, well, this should be about Million Dollar Baby." It's clear that this duck is actually just a remake of Million Dollar Baby. So, it sparked my comedic brain to just get onto Disney Plus's Twitter and retweet every single movie or TV show that they are releasing and make a comment. And I'm not saying that all of what I've written is dynamite, but I'm having fun with it. And I personally, I am not someone who gets onto Twitter a lot. If anybody has seen me.
Because I was like, he's probably tweeted more in 2 days than he has in probably 4 years. You know,
I asked him for 4 years. Hey, can you just retweet the link to the Ramblecast? I go, no, but some stupid movie from Disney. At first I was like, I don't know about you, Nick. I'm like, who is this dick that keeps putting these damn this shit on here? I thought it was, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was advertisement at first. I go, why am I being spammed with this? And I go, it's Matt. I go, oh, I guess I have to be nice. Then I read, so they're pretty funny. And I said, you know, this guy going, okay, all right, Matt. Okay, Matt. All right.
I started and I couldn't stop. And it was actually kind of fun and funny to me. Like I was making myself laugh. And
really, so, that's what Twitter's all about. It's about entertaining yourself.
Pretty much.
It's like masturbation. Let's just say it. Twitter is masturbation.
Emphasis on mass. M-A-S-S there. Anyway, if anybody wants to see what I'm tweeting about, and I never promote my Twitter handle, but it is at 5th day of May. You can go check out all of the, you can go to my profile and just kind of read a backlog. I will say that one ongoing joke has been about Old Yeller. Because as I was scrolling through some of these, I was like, oh, God, no.
Dead Yeller.
No, I cannot watch Old Yeller, dear God. So then every Disney movie featuring a dog, I'm like, no, not.
But you know, most Disney, we've talked about this before, most Disney movies have a death.
They do. I mean,
what Disney movie does not have like a parent dying or... Or did Walt Disney? I've read a lot and seen a lot on Walt Disney, but did he have daddy issues? I don't remember if he had daddy issues or not.
I'm sure everybody's got issues at something.
I don't think Freaky Friday did though.
It killed a lot of careers.
Parent Trap didn't have a death.
They got married, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so
same thing. So
Toy Story. I don't think had a death, so
I think we're just going with the movies, though. Even though,
okay,
yeah,
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Yeah, well, the first elephant died in the beginning.
Oh yeah, the actual Dumbo.
Yeah.
So
Bambi.
Bambi. Well, yeah, the cartoons for sure.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of pointing out the cartoons.
But Cinderella didn't, you know. So nobody died. I mean, obviously, at one point, her dad died. So
the grandma, I guess they didn't. The sisters and the
A lot of bullying going on in that movie.
Yeah,
I run across a lot of movies that I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck this is about. So you know, I just
okay,
I
come you up, want you can ask me and I could probably help you.
I like coming up with my own little. I try to look at the picture and guess what it's about. You know, so
did you ever see Escape from Witch Mountain?
I think I have, but I forgot the plot of it. So if you read my synopsis of it, it's probably way off.
Because they made a second one.
Yes, I know.
The actress became one of the Real Housewives, and she got arrested recently for shoplifting or something like that.
Oh. I made a comment of why would you go back? So
it's like, you know, who is it?
For the money.
No, like I forget which movie it is where Ryan Reynolds talks about Taken, you know. He's like,
yeah,
like Taken, that's a good movie. He goes, in the second one, you know, it's kind of the same thing happens to him. And then they made a third one. It's like, at some point, you should have to think, like, man, Liam Neeson's just a really bad dad. Like, you know, it's like,
well, it's like Death Wish. Who fucks with Charles Bronson more than once?
Yeah.
All right, don't fuck with Chuck.
Yeah. Escape from New York, Escape from LA, what the hell?
No, going back through all of these movies, I did realize a couple missed opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Stay in the fucking water!
Yeah. Three Men and a Baby, Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they should have had a third one.
They should. I think
they did. It was Three Men and a Prostitute.
Well, I think it's because the second one bombed so bad. You know, because the first one was I liked the first one.
She had a rough upbringing.
Yeah. You know what I noticed when I was tweeting about that though, Mahoney,
yeah,
Malone, and
Magnum.
Yeah, all M's.
Oh, you're going by there.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty. I mean they're most famous characters. I mean, you know what it, you know, it's not like we're all like, oh, Steve Guttenberg was in this other movie, you know, whatever.
Well, Ted Danson was in the first season of Magnum PI.
Oh, didn't know that. Yeah,
had a bald spot too.
That's why. Well,
Well, oh, yeah. Anyway, I thought there should have been a college version, you know, where she goes off to college and they're like,
oh, she did. She worked her way through college.
Grandfather, yeah, you're the year right here, everybody. I mean, yeah, the second one, the Third Man and the Lady had some good points to it, but yeah, it wasn't as good as the first one. You know?
It just didn't have the magic to it. It didn't have the. That's when they go to England, right?
And she's getting married, right? Yeah, she's getting married, but she's always loved Magnum, Tom Selleck's character, and you know, and he doesn't want to make the move because he's, you know, he's afraid that he will betray Ted Danson's character because, you know, he's the father of the baby, and like, and finally, like, Ted Danson realizes this. He's like, dude, it's like, you know, go for it. I had my chance. I blew it. Like, go.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like I said, it's got some good parts to it, but it needed a little bit more writing to it. And it just sucks. It's like, you know, Tom Selleck was on top of the world in the late 80s, and then all of a sudden he had just bomb after bomb. Like, you know, because Three Men and a Lady bombed. Even though I like Mr. Baseball, like, it didn't do that good.
You really have to be a baseball fan to love that movie.
I liked that movie. You know?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think people didn't like the fact that it was Japanese. Professional Japanese baseball and stuff like that. I thought it was really well.
It's a baseball movie and it's a fish out of water story. It's good. I mean, I like it. And then you know, in his best movie,
Plus he actually looked like a baseball player.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. And he still got to wear the D on the hat. You know.
Yeah.
but his best movie by far is Quigley Down Under. You know, and then it just seemed like
Yeah.
But he did that sci-fi movie with Gene Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that one. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember going to the theater. People were actually laughing when they weren't supposed to be laughing. It was almost like it was kind of, you know, about how robots would take it. And yet there was things where people were laughing. I'm like going, I don't think we're supposed to be laughing.
Yeah.
And we weren't. But it was, and he made that movie with, what's her name? She was really popular in the 80s too. Some plane movie.
Movie. Okay, so I'm looking at his films here. We got
that's the name of the actress.
Basically right after Magnum PI, or I mean Three Men and a Baby was made during that still, but you had her Alibi.
Hey, I saw that was good. One. Yeah, that was okay.
An Innocent Man, Quigley Down.
Yeah, that was
Three Men and a Little Lady. Mm-hmm. Then you got Folks.
I think I remember seeing that.
Folks, I don't remember. Who's in it?
Let's see. People I don't know. All right, made for TV movie. Christopher Columbus, The Discovery.
I remember that. He played the King of Spain, right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
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 Philip.
Yeah.
Then you had Mr. Baseball.
Yes.
Open Season.
Open Season.
Yeah. I mean, he has a break there. I mean, from 92 to 95, I mean, he was just...
I got to find the movie with the plane. What was the plane one?
Broken Trust, Ruby Jean and Joe, Last Stand at Saber River, In and Out.
I remember In and Out. Yeah.
The Closer, The Love Letter. Yeah, I mean, he really just kind of trails off there in the 90s. It's like he... Yeah, after Mr. Baseball, like, he sits down.
We forget he's older.
He is, but like you're saying, but I was, you know, like Mr. Baseball, even though I liked it, was considered to be like a career killer for him. I remember that at the time.
He was great on Friends.
And that was kind of his, I think, the start of his comeback. You had Runaway was the sci-fi movie that you're talking about. I think that was in 84.
Yeah, that's the Runaway was the movie.
I don't know.
High Road to China.
That's it. Yeah,
With Bess Armstrong, who was very popular in the 80s in her career. Yeah, I remember going to see that movie going, come on. I think, come on, Tom. What are we doing here, buddy? Anyway.
Yeah, and then he's just basically on a
Blue Bloods.
Yeah, he does a lot of like Westerns or, you know, kind of. I mean, he plays to his character.
He's made some good Westerns.
Yeah. The Jesse Stone series, too.
That's what it's funny about some of those actors like that. Like, like Gene Hackman, you know, really started winding his career down in the mid 90s as well, because he actually, I've never read nor seen one of his books, but he writes Westerns books.
Oh, does he?
And that's what he does now instead of acting, is that he just likes to write in his spare time.
Well, he didn't start to acting until he was in his 30s, I believe. If I remember correctly, it was late in life, not late, well, for, you know, for a lot of people late in life, but yeah, he didn't start acting, I think, till his 30s, but he was, he's in a lot of movies.
Yeah. It's the same as like with, why am I forgetting his name? You know, the bad guy in Die Hard.
Alan Rickman.
Yeah. Alan Rickman. That's his first role, was Die Hard. And
yeah,
and really, he was older than, I think he was almost 40, I think, at the time.
Wow. I think I'm going to try this acting thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it works out for some people. Some people quit everything and try it, and they probably got a podcast somewhere.
Yeah, I need to actually, just speaking of TV shows, like that, I actually for once need to retract something. Yeah, remember how I said I was not a fan of the Colby Smothers new show?
Okay. Yeah.
Stumptown,
yeah.
Yeah, the pilot to me did not impress me. I felt it was kind of edited funny together to where it didn't really work, but the second and third episodes I have enjoyed, so I will continue to watch it. And so I retract saying I did not like it. I do like it now.
All right.
Is
it funny or is it more action?
It's both, you know, because basically she is an ex soldier who's got post-traumatic stress and she's down on her luck, but she does know how to read people really well. And the first episode, she gets hired by like some random guy to find this girl who he met at a bar. And so it kind of has gotten her in this path of becoming a private detective. And so by the time of the third episode, like, she's trying to get licensed, and it's a pretty good, I mean, she's got some good humor and action. It's just kind of like a cop show, but not a cop show. And, you know, compared to like Prodigal Son, which was on at Comic-Con, which I kind of was like, but I'm still watching it, but it keeps saying like ABC's new number one television show, you know, and you're like,
Prodigal Son, why do I know who's in that one?
I always forget his name. The dad who was the serial killer, he's been in a ton of stuff. He was in Frost Nixon, and you'd know if you saw him. But nobody big, but it's okay. It's not that. To me, it's kind of like a Sherlock / Hannibal Lecter ripoff kind of show. And it's not that well written, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm still watching Perfect Harmony on NBC. Yeah, yeah. Bradley Whitford and Anna Camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why I'm still watching it, but it's like I said, that's right. I haven't watched this week's episode. I watched The Good Place.
Oh, okay.
Enjoy myself, and I watch and I want to like it because I like Bradley Whitford. He's funny, and it's got there's something there, but mm-hmm. there's something missing. I can't put my finger on it. Just something's not clicking. It's like someone's tried their best. They're trying to be like Community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little bit like Community, and there's something not clicking. So I keep going, all right, let me be patient with it. I'll be patient with it. Give it a couple more episodes. What else am I doing? So, I'm not watching a lot of network shows anymore. I just kind of stopped.
What was that show? Name that one.
Perfect Harmony.
Perfect Harmony. Yeah.
It's weird about some of the network shows because you know I binged Superstore over the kind of late summer there, and just really, really loved being able to binge it. Like, just, okay, yeah, more and more, you know, it's like eating a bag of chips. You're just like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, like, you know, and you can kind of gloss over the bad ones because you're just like, oh, there's just another one. Oh, there's another one, you know? And so, but now that I'm like having to wait every week, I'm like, man, you know, and I look forward to it, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, something to watch with the wife, you know? But it's like there's something about that binge aspect, especially with comedy shows where,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I don't know. Potato chip.
It's like a million little things. Do you watch that? Mm-mm. This Is Us. This Is Us. It's basically the same show.
Oh yeah. I need to write that down.
I love season one, but season two, it's funny. My wife and I didn't even say anything to each other the other day. She's like going, so after we watched about the next day, she goes, so this million and million little things. Are you going to stick with it? I go, yeah, it's been pretty depressing. It's so depressing. I mean, This Is Us can be depressing, but this season of million little, it's like, can anybody on this show be happy? Anybody? Oh. Can anybody be happy? I get it. They're all rich.
Yeah.
Or well off, and you know, they're not supposed to be happy, but come on, someone, can someone be happy? Anybody?
See, I mean, the thing with This Is Us is that, sure, it'll have a sad moment, but it also has that bittersweet happiness that it kind of like, it gives you a little sugar, you know, like,
yeah,
where you're still walking away with a ray of sunshine on your shoulder. You might be a little sad, but it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like memories of my mom. It's like, she's gone. I can be sad about it, but I can also be happy about it too at the same time, you know? And to me, that's that show, is that it pulls at those heartstrings that make you smile and cry, and it makes you feel good in some way that, I don't know, it like, so that's what I enjoy about This Is Us. And
yeah,
I don't want it to be completely like depressing. Like, I want hope in the world. And I think if anything, if we're watching TV and have a little bit of escapism in our lives, you kind of have to have a little bit of ray of sunshine, or else it, well, I don't know. Just,
our listeners that watch it, you know, maybe I'm just not seeing it right. Maybe I'm seeing it. Tell me what I'm missing in this season. It does have what's the guy from Psych, James, is it Rode? Rude, R-O-D-A.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's funny. Mm-hmm. He has the one-liners. He also has some serious stuff going on, and you know, he keeps it light. But there's so many other things that just like, it's just this season. It's just, I don't know. It's not grabbing me. Like the stuff that's sad, it's like, I feel bad for you, but I got my own problems. I got my own issues. It's like, I don't know. It just
now, question for you, Jack, and you know, I'll keep it as spoiler free as possible, but because I know Nick hasn't watched this because he hasn't watched Breaking Bad, but did you watch El Camino?
Not yet. No, it's on my list of things to watch. Right. I was sick. Did we mention Chris is in here?
Right. Yeah. We did.
Okay. Chris is sick. I had it over the weekend. In fact, we record on Sunday. I was sucking cough drops the whole time just to keep from. Oh. So all I did was, I was going to watch it, and all I did was sleep. I mean, all I did was just, my wife just kept giving me Tylenol. I'm not Tylenol. NyQuil. Just go to sleep.
Well, it'll be there. And I won't say
I want to see it. It's definitely on my list.
It didn't let me down at all.
Like, I got to watch Watchmen first, though, or I'll get in trouble.
Well, we are going to podcast about that show pretty soon.
I'd rather podcast about Breaking Bad.
The show's over.
The show's over. It's a brand new horizon with Watchmen.
I got it. We can do a rewatch with Nick on Crazy Ink TV. Two people that have seen it, one who hasn't, and we discuss each episode.
Yeah. It'll be a while, though, because I got to wait for Better Call Saul to end.
Why?
Because I want to watch Better Call Saul first. And then
you can watch Breaking Bad and still watch Better Call Saul.
Just saying.
He's also got a commitment with me because we got The Mandalorian coming out really soon.
True.
So that's in about a month.
How many episodes is that?
Ten.
Ten? All right. Yep. After that... How about we do a Breaking Bad one?
That should give you enough time, you know.
Well, it gives me enough time to watch Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Movie.
We'll see. Yeah, yeah. I hope you watch that.
I saw it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Don't worry about the time. Just do it.
I mean, if I'm going to watch a movie, it better be good.
You know, from the same guy that like binge watch some Mindhunters. You binge watch Mindhunters all night long.
Mindhunters was amazing.
Yeah, and it's like 8 episodes.
Okay, but the reviews are coming in on Watchmen, and it's good.
I'm going to probably like the TV show.
Sure.
But what if I don't like the movie?
Okay, well, just think of it as a prequel then, and then, you know, just get it out of your system, man.
isn't there just like a cheat sheet I can go on? That,
yeah, it's called the comic book, which is way much better, and you should read that, but you're never going to do that. No, so that's why huge. That's why we're all like pushing the movie on you.
All right, I'll watch the movie. So I'm gonna give a book report on it. Yeah, it starts these guys, and yeah, things happen.
You gotta have some context.
I've been rewatching. I started watching Hill Street Blues again too. So.
Okay.
This show's amazing.
All right, one show that I watched recently, actually during our hiatus, because we were off a week. For those of you that didn't know, and I think we mentioned it, that we were doing we were all joining in on the Lost rewatch with Jack.
Which episodes were there? What were those?
Mindhunter and Hill Street Blues.
Yes, it was. And Breaking Bad.
It was Breaking Home. No, Homebreakers. No. Homecoming and Break. No, Home.
That was Homecoming and Outlaws.
Thank you.
Before we go move on, we were talking about Magnum PI earlier.
Yeah. And you wanted to give a break.
Bryan Cranston's wife is in two episodes of Magnum PI and she kisses Magnum both times. Now, I was going to send him a message saying, hey, do you know that your wife kissed Tom Selleck twice? And just leave it at that. Should I open up that can of worms or?
I think she knows. I mean, she's married to Brian.
No, does he know? That's what I'm saying. Obviously, she knows she was there.
What if he's rewatching Magnum right now?
That could be.
Yeah.
Going, hey, that's my wife.
But you know what we shouldn't have the listeners do is rewatch a commercial break. We should just give it to him right now. Commercial break time. And we're back from that commercial break.
That was amazing.
It was so
I
long.
Failed the Pepsi challenge.
You know who didn't
it was Sprite.
You know who didn't fail the Pepsi challenge, though, is Chris. He is always promoting our Amazon affiliate link with all those great things that you can buy. And I would be remiss if I didn't add on to that commercial and say that if you go to jandjack.com/Amazon, you can shop all your Amazon needs, whatever they might be. Maybe you can buy a DOS boot or an actual boot. Either way.
That was funny, Nick, what you said to Chris in the chat. Oh, you know, it's great when you can't talk.
DOS boot.
Exactly. Yeah. Nick was encouraging Chris to watch this during his sick leave.
All right, I actually did buy a pair of boots.
Nice.
Yeah, because you're dealing with snow.
Yeah, and like it's for everyone, you know, I'm a southern boy. I've never had to deal with cold weather, and I'm living in LA, same thing. And so I'm experimenting with buying. I got a pair of Danner boots. Awesome. And I got these things, which I never even knew existed, which are called gaiters. Which you put over
They're called Danner boots?
Oh, yeah.
Danner is a company that makes boots out of Portland, Oregon.
Oh, because I have Donner boots. They have to come with the leg on it.
Also from Oregon.
You know what's funny is that when I was driving on Saturday.
Hey, be turkey.
When I was driving on Saturday up in the mountains with the girl I'm seeing, we were remote, and then she goes, see that over there? There's a little sign over there. That's the Donner path, not the path.
Oh, really?
But that's the route that they took. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Did you want to take it?
Well, I mean, it's not like something you can drive down, but it's just, you know, you can walk down it.
I was like, I thought they stopped in Oregon, and that's where
they
were heading to Oregon.
They were heading.
They were going to Oregon.
I thought they were going to California. I don't know.
If only there was a device that could
answer. Tell us these things. Because I think they died in Nevada. Right there on the border of Nevada and California.
I don't know. Watching it always makes me hungry.
they were who migrated to California in a wagon train from the Midwest, delayed by a series of mishaps. They spent the winter of 1846 to 1847 snowbound in the Sierra Nevada. Some of the migrants resorted to cannibalism to survive, eating the bodies of those who had succumbed to starvation. The Donner Party departed Missouri on the Oregon Trail in the spring of 46.
Because they were supposed to arrive sooner, right? But they had so many problems that they got. Right. Or there was an early winter or something like that. Was it something like that?
A freak storm for sure that snowed them in. Yeah. And then, yeah.
All right. Which brings me to the question. You're on that party. You're hungry.
Heck yeah, I'd eat somebody.
There's no McDonald's to go to or 7-Eleven or whatever. Do you eat somebody to survive?
Yeah, do what you gotta do, Jack. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'd.
So you're a full yes.
I'm a full yes.
I am never going camping with Nick. Let's just
Nick, I'm not dead yet.
Oh, come on. That muscle's getting tender right now. I mean, if I let you die, then it'll get all
over there putting salt.
Exactly. Let me rub that in that leg. You're not using that leg anyway, Jack.
No. I don't know. I guess you have to put yourself in that situation. What was that movie where the soccer team
crashed? Alive.
Alive. And I'm like going, I go, God, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. But I guess you have to survive. It's a rough one.
There must be another Oregon
group. You're thinking of the Oregon Trail, though.
Well, I mean, I know it's Oregon Trail related, but I know there's another group of cannibals that, like, somewhere in the Northwest. I lived out in the Northwest.
There's another group of cannibals.
No, there is. I swear.
Even though they ate humans, are they cannibals? Because they're not. It's not like something they would do all the time.
Boy,
so is it fair to label them as cannibals? Because they ate somebody to survive?
I mean, I get what you're saying, but you did eat a person, so technically you have indulged in cannibalism, but you're not a cannibal.
I got to live with that for the rest of my life. Oh, you're that guy that ate the person.
Yeah, I mean, like if
you got a little fingernail in between your teeth.
If you dabbled in vegetarianism, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you're a vegetarian, you know? Like,
yeah, who wants to be labeled as that either? Okay, so
hey. If you ate Chris, a little bit of him would be with you forever, you know. So
I think you're right.
I'd have the urge to beat up old people.
Yeah, exactly. Part of his soul would be in you, and you're just like, "Why am I all of a sudden angry and interrupting people?" Oh, I do that anyway.
All right, I'm going down a weird Donner Party path here on my phone. Down
weirder than what we've already done?
Mm-hmm. No, not that weird.
Okay.
We were talking about TV shows, and I wanted to mention this TV show before I forgot, because on our hiatus here, it's not really a hiatus. We're still podcasting and doing stuff every week. So
yeah, we don't stop.
Yeah, we don't stop. This
snowstorm, we just keep pushing through it.
This train don't stop.
We don't stop hitting fingers.
But I think one of our listeners, Matt Triest, has encouraged or suggested for us to watch Big Mouth. I don't know if anybody's ever watched.
I must have missed that.
I try to stay away from politics.
It's not political, but you could make it that way, I guess. So
is it about bass fishing?
It is not about bass fishing, although
that's largemouth.
Yeah.
Oh,
largemouth.
Okay.
Oh, so it's Martin Downey Jr.
Nope, not about him either. So
look that up, kids playing at home. you want some good television? Look that up.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn about Big Mouth because is it
a cartoon?
It's a cartoon. It's okay. So first of all, it's a cartoon. It's on Netflix. They're in season three. Season three just came out. It has a lot of great comedic actors that I like, and they've been in tons of other stuff. So on one aspect, I love their voices, and I sometimes just laugh at hearing what they have to say. So Nick Kroll, who has been in The League, you know, you've seen him in a lot of different things. John Mulaney, if you're familiar with his work. Jenny Slate, who has been in most recognizable from Parks and Rec, is a movie or a TV show that she's been in. Jesse Klein is another actress. Jason Mantzoukas, how do you pronounce his name? Mantzoukas, You've seen him in so much stuff. Also in the league, and his voice is so recognizable and just.
Is he the crazy guy from the league?
Yeah, and I could just listen and watch just about anything. So he's a big sell for me, as well as Fred Armisen and of course Maya Rudolph, and let us not forget Jordan Peele. All of those top notch actors and actresses being in that show make it hilarious. But I just have to say this: I am now. Kind of a little ways into my 40s now. Just celebrating my birthday and
45.
Shut your mouth, okay? Shut your big mouth. It's not 45. I'm years away from that yet. Okay,
47.
No, you're going higher. Screw you, Jack. I'm 43. Anyway,
Once you get past 40, it doesn't matter.
I know. But okay, just to give it context, though, like Big Mouth is probably a show that I would have watched in my 20s and not given 2 second thoughts about like the subject matter or what's being presented or the fact that they animate penises, vaginas, and boobs. But there is a 40-year part of me that is kind of like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this.
I get arrested, they check my computer for
right. Yeah, like, oh, this guy was watching Big Mouth. No, I mean, it's just the subject matter they deal with as far as masturbation and all things sex. It's hilarious, and they do bring up some things that I think are really poignant for middle schoolers that they're going through. So I don't know.
And you're a long way from middle school, being 47.
I'm not a long way from middle school, and the fact that I have a daughter in middle school. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that gives it a little bit more of a weirder context, I guess. And that probably is where the 40-year-old dad part of me comes in, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm
40-year-old. Now you're making yourself younger.
I'm. If you round down, it's closer to the other part. I'm
40.
Anyway. I'm not panning the show completely. I think it's not for
you're not giving it a great review though.
No, I'm just saying it's not for the tame of heart. I find some parts to be really hilarious. I find some parts to be a little like, whoa, you know, like they really went there, you know, and other parts to be super educational for those kids that I know that are watching this.
It sounds like you're reviewing the Ramblecast.
Yeah, but we're also not animated and targeted.
I think we're pretty animated.
Oh, okay. Well, speak for yourself, guys. So, anyway, Big Mouth, not for the faint of heart, but definitely funny. And I love all of those actors. It definitely has some crack up moments on it. So, I guess if I'm thinking of a Netflix animated series that I love to watch, BoJack, which I guess they're going to finish up their final season pretty soon. When
that was the guy who played for the Raiders and Royals?
No, different BoJack. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, so that was my quick but long review of.
I finally watched Shrek. I'd never seen Shrek before.
That movie came out in like the 90s?
Yeah, it's like
2001. Well, my granddaughter, you know, I'm always looking at it, you know, it's 10 hours, get entertainer, and she likes to watch music videos. She likes, I've talked about it before, the Bengals. She likes the Bengals, but I can only watch so much of the Bengals. And then I started watching Smash Mouth. Whatever happened to Smash Mouth? I liked them. I thought they were good.
The band?
A band. But they did the Shrek one, the right. Monkeys. I saw your face. I'm a believer. Da da da. But she loves that. She loves that song, and she also likes the one. What's the one with their superheroes? Ben Stiller.
Oh really? Yeah.
You remember that movie? It was really funny. But
Mystery Men.
All Star. Yeah, Mystery Men.
Oh yeah.
All-Star. Anyway, so we started watching that. So we watched Shrek. And so I go, what? Let me go on Hulu. And we watched it over like 3 days. And I go, oh, it wasn't a bad movie. Kind of, you know, it was okay. It was funny. I liked Eddie Murphy's and what's his name?
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers. But we started watching. I went on Hulu and I saw, oh, Alvin and the Chipmunks. So I click on that. And before I get on there, it says parental discretion. I go, yeah. This is Alvin and the Chipmunks. What the fuck am I going to watch? So I go, okay, I got to see it. And the chipmunks, they live amongst humans, and they're almost like they're human except for their little nose and they have the fur.
Right.
And they have a tail. That's it. They're human other than that. So who put this up, Matt?
Matt. I'm just pointing out that on Google here, the first question.
Whatever.
So I am watching this, and the first episode I'm watching, what's the youngest one? Theodore, Alvin,
Simon,
Theodore. Mm-hmm. So Theodore gets it, and Dave's got like a different look to. He's like a young, cool looking guy now. He's not like Matt the other day. right.
That's fine.
I tease older people. So I'm watching this, he finds a puppy. He sneaks the puppy into the house, and Dave says they can't have a puppy, so he sneaks this puppy. So the dog poops in the house, and Dave steps in it. So he's stepping in poop, and it's I'm going, huh? So I still have not figured out why there was a warning for me. Unless they were, have you guys seen it?
No, I don't tend to watch shit-filled Alvin and the
Well, I just thought she'd like it, and she doesn't. She kind of likes it for a little bit, but then she likes the music. She likes music, so I'm looking for music, different music videos. Like she loves the Monkees. She loves the Monkees.
Have you played the Monkees TV show?
I did, and she kind of got bored with it because they're not singing the whole time.
Yeah, it's not fast enough. Needs something more peppy.
She's more peppy, yeah. She doesn't like it. It's like Big Mouth probably was to you. It's like, it's there, but she's thinking, okay, do I want to be watching this with my grandpa? I don't know. So, it's the Monkees, and you got Davey. Sure. You're like, oh, my God. Davey's always falling in love and stuff.
So. Hey, we're the Monkees.
I didn't realize that Whiteout Dude, what's it? Michael Nesmith, he sang so many songs. He sang a lot of songs. Mm.
Why did you call him Whiteout Dude?
His mom invented Whiteout.
Oh, okay.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't
know that.
Yeah, wow. That's bringing some knowledge here tonight.
Wow. I thought that was just public knowledge. I mean, I thought everyone knew that.
Here's some trivia.
You would have been on Jeopardy going.
Here's some trivia for you, Jack. Who was supposed to be the original voiceover actor for the role of Shrek?
The
original actor. Would I know him?
You would know him.
Tom Selleck?
No. The reason why he wasn't is because he passed away.
Oh.
So it's delayed, not which delayed production.
It's not Smash Mouth related then.
Away. What actor died in 2000? Oh, John Candy? Mm-mm.
No. Oh, Phil Hartman?
Nope.
Oh, no, that's good.
You're in the right area.
John Candy. Oh, not John, but what's his name?
Bucci.
No. It's SNL. I know this. It's got to be what's his name now? Shit. I'm just going through.
Who else died from SNL? Let's see.
Well,
I mean, how many SNL people died in the 90s?
I know, and I know people are shouting it right now, and I'm like,
well, John Candy wasn't in SNL. He was on TV. Right.
Freaking Tommy Boy, right?
Yeah.
Chris Farley.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I could not think of the actor. I know everybody else was already shouting.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, if you Google Shrek test footage, you can hear Eddie Murphy and Chris Farley doing the role.
Oh, bummer.
This is like just before he died. Yeah.
Man. Him and John Candy both.
Yeah, too soon.
Yes.
It's hard for me, because like both of them, like Wagons East is not a good movie, and the same as like Almost Heroes was like Chris Farley's last. Both of them were kind of like,
eh. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, he makes some clunkers.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, like, I was going to talk about it with Chris. So I'm not sure if you guys saw it yet. Did either one of you watch Joker?
No,
did not. But I saw the SNL thing, and I thought it was pretty.
That was good. Yeah. Yes.
So I love all the Sesame Street callbacks, and so has Chris seen the Joker?
I don't remember. I just remember us talking last week, saying like next week we need to talk about Joker on this podcast. And
yeah,
if you go ahead and talk about it, I probably won't see it until I watch Watchmen.
Yeah, I'm just conflicted with it. You know, Colleen and I agreed. You know, of course Jay had to argue. Pro for it. But
at least it wasn't on our private thread.
Yeah. it's extremely well acted. It's extremely well executed. It's just, I go into every movie just trying to watch the movie for exactly what that movie is. Like, you know, I'm not going to go into a Star Wars movie and say like, oh, well, this happened in the previous movie, so you've got to go. No, I want to, if it holds up on its own, that's how I want to watch it. Like, is it just good by itself? And so the first opening act, I mean, the whole first act of the movie has nothing really to do with the Joker or even DC. It's just, it's a guy who's picked on and he's mentally ill, and it's really hard to watch, you know? And the second act, you revealed a little bit of a twist, and you still don't know at the conclusion of the film if it was true or not. But you're like, oh, this is interesting now. You know, and it kind of makes it go like, oh, okay. But it's still like, at no point in the film will you ever feel good, will you laugh. It's just disturbing, the entire film. But that's, when you think about it, though, that's what a villain's origin story would be. But it's, but that's what I mean. Like I told Colleen, it's like, I thought it was really good, but it, in a way, it is a glorification of mental illness, because he's forgotten by society, he's picked on by society, and so you're just like, it's not a feel-good movie, you know? Whereas in, like, Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson's Joker had fun. Like, they were fun in their madness. This is not a fun. Yeah, this is not fun in their madness. This isn't
your grandpa's Joker.
This is not. No, this is.
this isn't your, like, Adam West, you know, Cesar Romero.
Where he won't shave off his mustache.
Right. Well, that's a good takedown without giving too much away. I mean, you know,
you come out feeling depressed though?
You will not, when that movie credits roll, you will probably manically depressed at that point.
So Jack, it's sadder than A Million Little Things.
Wow. I don't know if that's possible.
Okay. Did you want to talk more about Joker?
That's fine. Okay. If no one else has anything to say, I don't want to spoil it. I mean, it's just one of those movies, like, watch it at your own, you know, I wouldn't say don't watch it. I won't say go watch it. It's just, it is what it is.
We were talking SNL and, and it just sparked my memory. I sat down to watch, you know, I had some Hulu on or whatever, you know, and I was kind of skimming through the movies, you know, and I was like, just trying to look, you know, and you know how you do, you're like searching for something, but you're just like, I don't know what to pick. It just so happened that my dog Baxter jumps up on my lap and then makes me push the button on a random movie. No, Baxter's the hero in this story. He accidentally makes me push the button on this movie called Three Men and a Prostitute. No. seriously, though, I just happened to randomly like click on this movie called Too Funny to Fail. I didn't know what it was about. I had no idea. It was just like, and I just was like, I was just lazy enough that I was like, all right, I'm just going to see whatever you made me randomly click on, and I'm going to watch the first 5 minutes. I finished the whole documentary because I was just I was just drawn in. Thanks, Nick, for distracting me. So Too Funny to Fail is a documentary about the Dana Carvey Show. It has some very famous people on there that got their start on the Dana Carvey Show that I did not realize. I did not realize that Stephen Colbert got a start on the Dana Carvey Show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As well as, I'm horrible with names and I'm going to blame the gin because that's an easy excuse. I would just want to call him Michael Scott. And
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. Thank you. So I did not. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, both those guys were on The Daily Show as well. I mean,
right. You know. Yeah. But, and it explains kind of how they went from that show to The Daily Show. It's well worth the time. It's funny. It made me laugh and it made me look at Dana Carvey in a new way because I mean, you know, I remember him in the '90s. I remember how funny he was, you know, and the fact that he left SNL, did the Dana Carvey Show, and then what happened at the Dana Carvey Show. And there's some pretty funny. What's that?
What happened to the Dana Carvey Show? What happened?
Well, it was put in a block of time. So they had a lot of options on the table because Dana Carvey was a big name at that moment. Like right. he could do anything. And it's weird because they mention a lot of the networks that they were shopping out to do the show. And one of them was HBO, which had they gone to HBO, I think this show would have at least lasted a lot longer. And right. they would have had the circus sky's the limit attitude that they needed for what they did. And instead they chose ABC and they were put on right after Home Improvement. It's kind of a sad story about the wrong show at the wrong time or maybe the right show at the wrong time and how it really did not help the show. So worth checking out because they do play a lot of the skits. They talk to a lot of different comedians and of course Dana Carvey's on there and yeah, good stuff.
I'll check it out because he's good friends with me on Twitter. So maybe I can on the podcast.
Is he? Well,
hey, he follows me on Twitter. We're like,
yeah. Oh, you guys are like that. Yeah.
I love
retweet one of my tweets to him, you know, about Disney.
No, I want him to keep following me.
Okay. Fair enough.
I love Dana Carvey. He was my favorite. And he got the worst luck, you know, in the mid 90s and onward. You know,
he had heart issues, right? He had,
I think he did, yeah. But that was like a good while after SNL. But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did. But, you know, he just never had that movie that really hit that made him go beyond SNL, yeah. Even though he had so many good characters and sketches on SNL.
Yeah.
And
because he was great on Wayne's World.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you read the story about that, because Mike Myers was such an egotistical asshole, right. That the original screenplay of Wayne's World, he wrote Garth completely out of the movie because he originally just wanted it to be Wayne's World, the sketch on SNL, but they needed, you know, someone else to be on the couch with him, so he asked Dana Carvey to do it, and Dana Carvey basically made the character of Garth, you know, like he just made it up there on the spot, but when they got the contract for the movie, Mike Myers didn't want him in it. And so Dana Carvey, when he read the script, basically said, I'm not going to be in it. I quit. And I'm not going to do it. And he held out. And then, you know, he basically wrote all the Garth parts in the movie.
It's funny as Myers is, it doesn't work without Dana Carvey.
Right. Well, and some of the funniest lines that I still quote, you know, or I quoted back in the day, because I mean, that movie was out when I was in high school, such as, you know, when he says, if you're going to spew into this, you know, like, and he pulls out that little Dixie cup, you know, like, it's just, I mean, he had a way with whatever character, whatever line you gave him that he made it his own. Oh yeah. Church lady. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So no, he had a lot of great characters and, definitely, again, this was like a random. So thanks, Baxter. Because I
pick for me. You know, we should do that each week. Have Baxter's pick of the week.
Baxter's pick of the show,
and we tell the listeners, "Hey, this you should watch Baxter picks it."
Baxter, jump on my hand as I'm just randomly not looking at the TV. So,
I think the only Dana Carvey movie that I even know that I will watch is Opportunity Knocks. I liked that one.
Oh yeah.
He's a con artist.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Well, there's just some actors that just don't. He's better at the shorts. He's better at the sketches than a full length movie.
Well, and he had.
I say that about John Candy. I bet John Candy was better as a supporting role member than a star. Even though Uncle Buck is funny, either he had some funny roles, but he was better as the guy behind, like in Stripes.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, even in Uncle Buck, even though he is the main star, you know, with the fact that you have two great child actors, and then the other child actor, the teenage girl. I mean, you have a lot of subplots that are going on that are crucial to that.
Yeah, like in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
it works perfect
with Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but I mean, it brings up a great point, though. I mean, Mike Myers is great. Dana Carvey's great. It takes both of them to make that thing. I mean, it's weird. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, it's so what? It's called Wayne's World. It doesn't work without Garth. You have to have.
No, it doesn't. I didn't know the original sketches. He wasn't supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
I've heard Mike Myers has an ego.
Yeah.
He doesn't follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, this is from what I was reading. It was all from Dana Carvey's point of view. So, I mean, who knows what Mike Myers would say about it? But that's another reason why Wayne's World 2 didn't do as well, is because there's already bad blood from the first film. And then Mike Myers also threw more gasoline on the fire when he made Austin Powers, because it was actually Dana Carvey's impression of Lorne Michaels with Dr. Evil.
And
Mike Myers stole that from Dana Carvey doing it.
Yeah. You got a real Lennon and McCartney situation here.
You do. I mean, in a way, yeah. So it's just, but I mean, Dana made it very clear in the article I was reading that he was not bitter or anything about it. He said he looks at their relationship as kind of like a big brother, little brother thing, is that, you know, like they argue, they spit back at each other. But in the end, like, I'm not uncivil to him. You know, I don't care. I'm glad.
It's one of those things where you go, God, I hope they're buddies. You know, it's like, I hope they're friends. When you find out like the two actors that hate each other, you're not going, oh, come on. How can you hate each other? You know, that's just life, you know.
It's just like comedians. Like, you know, like I've heard comedians say it, like, you know, you go up to another comedian and say, hey, do you think George Carlin's funny? Do you think this guy's funny? And it's like, no. Like, you know, like they're like, you know, they're just like, I'm a comedian. I think I'm funny. You know, and like, so you don't want to talk about other comedians, they want to talk about themselves. And, you know, you're not bitter at other guys, but they're competitors in a way. So
there are certain comedians though that, and I think we talked about this actually probably a little bit more behind the scenes, and I don't know. It's been a while since I remember our comedian poll that we put up, you know.
I finished Steve Martin came in second.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we know. So anyway, when we kind of discussed this, I think in our comments about some of the female comedians though, is that many of the ones that we all liked, you know, were actually less stand-up comedians and more sketch comedy or improv female comedians. Those were the strong female comedians that we were all like, oh, we like this person, we like this person. The stand-up female comedians, we as a collective group of four guys, just randomly with way different backgrounds, just did not gravitate towards them. It's not that we had a bias against men or over women, but the female comedians. I won't include you on that one, Nick.
Yeah, leave me out of it too.
All right, so I'm alone on an island here.
You and Chris, I think, had that conversation. I think Matt and I, Nick and I, were just sitting there.
No, I thought Nick was with me.
Yeah, but I'm kidding with you. Yeah,
right. Anyway, whatever. You know, it just. I guess my point, though, being is there are comedians, though. You know, like you have your Amy Poehlers or your Tina Fey's, who came up out of like an improv group, you know, you've got Groundlings. I think Andrea Savage is a comedian that I have loved everything that she, I know I've mentioned on the show before. I'm Sorry is a hilarious show. Season 2 is out on Netflix. If you haven't checked out I'm Sorry yet, definitely should. She is so funny. She came out of Groundlings. But you have a lot of these female comedians though, that are really strong with that improv, and they do so well when they're reciprocating and adding and ad-libbing. And it is kind of more of a team atmosphere as opposed to a me singular. It's all about me, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you go ahead, Nick.
I was saying, like, there's just different ways to express comedy, and, you know, certain people have different talents. Cause, like, I always think of, like, what you're saying, like, with sketch writers versus actual stand-ups, because, like, Jeff Foxworthy is someone that always pops in my mind, is that he was a good stand-up comedian and just one-liners, you know, like, in and letting, you know, saying something and let it relate to something in your life, which is what stand-up comedians do, is that, you know, they say something just really abstract and go, like, this is how, think of it this way. But he always, I think he tried to do it two or three times in his career to try to have a sitcom, and all of them failed because he is not that kind of comedian, you know? And so that's what I think of. It's like the same as what you're saying with Tina Fey. Tina Fey is superb at writing and for a sketch or for a TV show. But I can't see her being a stand-up comedian. I mean, she might be good at it. I've never seen her do it. But it's just everyone has their strengths.
We all had Gilda Radner, who was on Saturday Night Live way very young. Extremely funny on Saturday Night Live. But when she'd go on a talk show, she was so shy. And so it was like if she wasn't in character – I don't want to say she wasn't funny, but she wasn't funny. She wasn't like, oh my God, she's going to be hilarious because she's hilarious on Saturday Night Live.
Well,
she was fascinating, she was only funny if she was in a character.
I've heard the same thing about Will Ferrell, you know, is that when he is in character, you know, he is so committed and he can be extremely hilarious, but when he's out of character or kind of the makeup is off, he can be kind of a little bit more like, okay, this is me, you know, I'm sure he puts on a certain face or what have you, as he's doing, you know, promotional kind of junkets and what have you, you know, going on talk shows. But there are certain comedians though that, when the makeup's off, like it's not like, Robin Williams, 100%.
Right,
you know, nonstop. I'm on cocaine.
That's a lot of people, like entertainers. Like I remember watching an interview with Mick Jagger, I think in like 73 or 74, him talking about that, how he gets really mad sometimes when he's out at a bar and people expect him to be the Mick Jagger on stage. You know, and he's like, because that is my extroverted self. That's a character that I'm playing to entertain, to get people to get up and dance. He goes, but when I'm on my own, I'm just, you know, regular guy, you know, and that's what I want to be. And you know, because I don't want to always be this crazy flamboyant guy. And that makes no sense, you know.
There was a comedian that said that once, and he goes, I was sitting in a bar, a restaurant, people come up to me and want me to do a stand-up.
Right.
He goes, make me laugh. And he goes, like, going, you come to my show.
Yeah.
Right. You know, my show. I'm not here to make you laugh. And he goes, people always got pissed. They got upset. You know, like going, but this is my life. I'm not – but, you know, you see someone like Robin Williams, you have to believe Robin Williams is like that 24/7.
Mitch Hedberg had a thing like that, too. He goes, I was at a place the other night, and a guy walks up to me and said, hey, man, I saw you on TV. And I went, oh, thanks, man, thanks. You know, and he goes, but then I thought about it. He goes, he didn't say if I was good or not. He just said, I saw you on TV. He goes, if I see that guy later, I'm like, hey, I saw you at the restaurant, and just walk away.
It's like actors who play a tough, you know, a tough guy or something like that.
Right.
That people want to pick fights with them in bars because they think, okay, I got to beat this guy up. But it's just,
or like or like Tom Cruise, who always plays like a straight guy. Anyway,
I was just close getting him on the show, Matt. I did want to say though, if for the older people out there, if you like Johnny Carson. I don't know if you guys ever watched Johnny Carson, Pat, before your time. I used to watch Johnny Carson all the time.
I was more of a Dick Cavett guy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Dick Cavett, he's interesting. He's not as funny. He was a smarter guy. Dick Cavett was more. You really had to pay attention to Dick Cavett. Not that Johnny Carson wasn't smart, but you had, you know. But on XM satellite radio, there's a Johnny Carson station.
Oh, really?
Oh.
channel 105 on satellite. It's my wife found it. She was listening to it. And so now when I'm driving around, which isn't often, but I'm listening, I listen to Johnny Carson. My only complaint is sometimes they don't tell you who the guest is. And if you're not, if you're just, you turn in the car and it's on, you're like going, okay. So the other day I'm listening to it. And I go, it's either Gregory Peck or the other old guy from that era. I'm like going, cause it was the guy who played MacArthur. And they're talking about the miniseries MacArthur. I'm like going, it's Gregory Peck. Who's the guy in the Field of Dreams that? Burt Lancaster.
Burt Lancaster, yeah.
The whole time I'm going back and forth, I go, it's either Burt Lancaster or Gregory Peck. Burt, I go, why don't they give us the name? And they don't tell you unless you, he goes, then we'll go to a commercial break. And then they come up with something else. And you're like going, well, who the? So I had to come home. I go, all right, who played MacArthur?
And Cary Grant's the other one I always think of those three. Cary Grant.
For whatever reason, Gregory Peck and Burt Lancaster always mixed up.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. That is some weird and wild stuff right there. Yeah, that is just crazy talk.
Yeah.
The Bob were one of his patients. He goes, he was supposed to observe stuff. He'd write down, he goes, and I remember the language. So what did you learn this week? He goes, Ed McMahon will laugh at anything. And from that point on, God, he's right. Ed McMahon laughs because there's times you're listening on the radio and Ed McMahon, oh, oh,
oh. Did you guys, I'm sure you guys did. Did you ever see the movie Stakeout with Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss?
Oh, yeah.
So the first one's good, and the second one.
That's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope we can see the.
The second one wasn't as good, but like it's got Rosie O'Donnell in it, and you know they're a buddy cop duo. And I always think when speaking of Ed McMahon, she's trying to insult him one day, and like you know, and she's like, you know, talking to Richard Dreyfuss, "You're Johnny Carson," and he looks at me and says, "You're Ed McMahon." He's like, "That's it. Nobody calls me Ed McMahon." Like, yeah, you know, goes off.
Oh,
well, we were talking about Dana Carvey, and I just have to say. Shout out to his impersonation of Johnny Carson because that is one that I what's that?
So that was really something. Yeah. You did it better, but yeah,
wacky.
That is wild, Ed. Wow, I don't know where you come up with this crazy shit.
Phil Hartman played Ed McMahon.
Right? And yeah, Phil Hartman, God rest his soul. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He played Doc.
What's that?
That's all he ever did. Just got to sit there and go, yes!
Oh, man. I love on this movie.
Ed McMahon was drunk.
Oh.
One time, and Johnny Carson's like, going, you really think you're getting away with this? Because he was getting all emotional and stuff. Yeah, just look for it on YouTube. It's hilarious because Ed McMahon went out and had some drinks and came back and was sauced and Johnny Carson was like kept looking at him like going, you think you're getting away with this, don't you?
Shit. Well
no one better than Carson at all ever.
No, he's great. I love some Carson. So
yes.
I even watched it when I was a youngster. So
and we've talked about this too. I know Jack and I have on a podcast that what I liked about Carson was that he not just being funny, but he knew when the first guest was on fire, you know, and you know, sometimes he would bump the second one just because the first guest was so good. And he also brought in a lot of new talent, you know, like he would welcome it on his show, you know, and he wasn't always about himself. Whereas mm-hmm. in like Leno killed all that. I felt like, you know, I didn't have anything against Leno, but like Leno was more about himself, you know, and like, and that's why I think a lot of people don't like Leno.
Well, Carson knew to step back. Like yeah. you said, I remember when he had Robin Williams on the one time, and Robin Williams is just on fire. He's just going a mile a minute, and he was the only guest.
Yeah.
He just said, but Carson had that kind of power, though, too, where he could, if he bumped you, he was like, all right, well, you don't make Carson mad because if you don't, how many talk shows were there back there? It was him and Tom Schneider and Dick Cavett, and you know, you had Michael Douglas.
I guess Letterman was the late show, so yeah, he hadn't moved up.
Early, I mean, it was like Carson was king, and to get on Carson,
yeah,
you had to get on Carson because that would launch your career. But yeah, he was just he would just bump. I'm sorry, we ran out of time for such and such. Whereas now, you watch a talk show, it's like okay, you got 3.5 minutes.
Mm.
And
yeah, talk about your movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
Yeah. It's forced. It's not like you're having a conversation where Carson, it felt like he was having a conversation. Anyway, I mean, like he had on there and stuff, like it was hilarious.
I was watching actually today, I was watching George Harrison on Dick Cavett, and you know, you always wonder like why he got the reputation for being the quiet Beatle. And like, you watch that interview, you know why. You know, like John and Yoko had been like the week before, and he just happened to be in New York. And so they're like, oh, if you're in town, like, would you like to be on the Dick Cavett? And he's like, okay, I don't have anything to promote, but sure, I'll. And he just kind of goes out there and sits on the couch, you know, and Dick Cavett just kind of keeps trying to get him to talk. And he's like, yes.
Maybe
he doesn't have anything to say.
Huh? Maybe Forrest Gump should have been with George Harrison.
Yeah, maybe.
I would love to talk to you some more about Harrison and perhaps maybe talk about that Abbey Road 50th anniversary release. Sure. Maybe in our bonus episode. Can we move this conversation to a bonus episode? Because we're
at an hour 15, might as well.
Yeah, might as well. So if you enjoy this show, and I guess you've listened this far. I mean, you got past my big mouth. if you enjoy this show, and we are glad that you do, you can always write in to us at rcadcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram. I guess somebody will post on there in a while. It's kind of like a ghost town over there. Or you can follow us on Twitter, which I guess
RCADcast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. It's RCAD.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Instagram's the same thing.
And you know, just to remind you again, my Twitter handle, which apparently I have like a huge load of Twitter feed that you can check out right now. I never tweet, but it's over tweeted, is at Fifth Day of May, all spelled out like the Bob Dylan song. And let's see, what's up?
There's not a Bob Dylan song called The Fifth Day of May.
Well, yeah, but it's mentioned.
It's just a lyric in the song.
Oh, shit, we're going to be here another 5 minutes. Nick, do you want to talk about your Twitter handle?
I do not.
Twitter handle?
I do not tweet.
Oh, okay. There we go.
You want to follow me on
Twitter? It's people that's blowing up.
Respond to you.
What is your Twiddle handle?
Twiddle handle. I see it right in front of us.
It says fuck you.
Oh no! I thought you were talking about Nick's.
Oh well, Nick's is at Nicholas81.
Yeah. I'm Crackpot Jack. So Crackpot Jack.
Jack will follow anyone. Just so you know.
I will follow. Well, no, I have had some people unfollow me. You say, oh, thank God. But my policy is I try not to unfollow people, you know, but sometimes they get on there and you're like going, God, what is this person's problem? And then they unfollow you. Yes. Yes.
I think you're going to get a lot of tweets about there actually is a movie called Three Men and a Hooker or a prostitute.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's like, we made that movie, Jack. You know,
talk about your going to the game too. You went to the,
Oh yeah. Yeah. We can talk about that in the bonus.
Okay.
I don't mean to kick it to the bonus. I just, we haven't done a bonus for a while. So
Sometime.
So, and let's see, you can become a patron. That always helps us out. Go to jandjack.com, click on the patron link there. Donate at the $5 or more level gets you onto the Facebook page. The $15 level gets you access to our live show, which we've just done
two recently. A lot of fun.
Yes, it is always a lot of fun. I think the $5 level
must be good. Pants for the live one.
I try to, but you know, if you donate so much, I might not wear pants. So that's up to our patrons. If you don't have to send us money, you can also help us out by, as I mentioned before on the show, you can shop our Amazon affiliate link, jandjack.com/Amazon. You can buy pants there, boots, or even DOS boot if you need to.
DOS boot.
And Jack, what's that?
You can watch. You can buy Watchmen too.
You can buy Watchmen. Yeah, yeah. You could probably rent that on Apple TV too if you need to.
Yeah, I probably will do that. I'm gonna go the cheapest route possible.
All right, yeah, check out a new Watchmen podcast starring Jack with two assistants. Anyway, there's a couple other patrons that make this show possible. Jack's got a list of them. I know he wants to talk about that.
We thank all our patrons, all of them. I'm sure there's some out there we really don't care about.
No, I'm giving them a big, giant hug.
All right, Matt, give them the hug. But we thank Tack from Paris, Eckhart Rickner Glaffelder, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the Plan, Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier, and Drake the Destroyer. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for everyone what you do. We do. I was joking. We really do appreciate it.
We do.
And just one last thing, closing. Hey, did you guys watch that Sunday night football game with the that was in Pittsburgh? Oh, I'm sorry, it was in L.A., but it seemed like it was in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah. You gotta love those L.A. fans.
Yeah, literally. There, I went to a Charger game. I think 2011. My wife and I went. It was 27 degrees. There are more Charger fans at that game in Pittsburgh than for the home game in Los Angeles. So F you, Spanos. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fucked up. Fuck you. Anyway, that's all I got.
Wow. Well, tell us what you really think next time, Jack.
Yeah, I'm holding back. Okay. I've been. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I've been kind of going at it with people from in the press because they're just fucking stupid. They're fucking stupid. No team in the NFL. When the Colts came to Indianapolis, was Indianapolis excited about getting the Colts?
I was too young to remember, Jack.
Fuck up. Just say yes or no. The Titans. Were Tennessee, were they excited about getting the Titans?
No.
You don't know. You don't.
It's 98. Shouldn't this be in the bonus? I thought we were talking about
that. Let's go to the bonus.
Great show, kids. That was one in a Disney Plus.
Or
Wait, way to go, Matt.